morning, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. Today I'm going to take about 10 minutes, Chair. I was hoping some time would be yielded to me, but to tell you a little bit about DPI's impact and probably a lot more about what we're doing about it. Let me first thank the CARICOM Secretariat and the UNDP Secretariat for the opportunity to have this discourse. I also see a number of faces in the audience that came to our audience response. I just want to let you know that the people of DVLA are forever grateful for your interest and care. Let me also extend sympathies to my Caribbean nations that have gone through the same things that we have gone through. If it's one time we can say that truthfully, I know what you're going through, it's on this occasion. We often say in the DVI that God is a DVI lander, because when weather systems come our way, a lot of times they bow and turn either to the south to one of us or the curve north. This time was different. We've had our share of storms in the DVI. The last time we experienced major storms was in 1991 with Louise and Marilyn that were also Category 4 and Category 5 storms. And those are back-to-back also. But it's probably an understatement to say we've never seen anything like this. We have, in fact, coined a name to describe three weather systems that impacted us significantly in a three-year period. We call them the unprecedented trio. Chair, we shook off Louise and Marilyn in 1991. And 26 years later, with better infrastructure, we were devastated. We jokingly said in the BVI that Irma was a Category 6. I think the scientists have to do the work because we truly believe that. We had some floods, 15 inches of rain in 20 hours in August. We then had Irma, I think at our fullest strength, 185 miles of steam. I live on a hill where I am sure we received 225 plus. And then this was compounded by Maria 2 weeks later. We have never seen anything like this in the DVI. Tomorrow, my premier is going to present a short video that shows some of the devastation. Because as we see in the DVI, you have to be there to see. This slide, however, gives a little bit of a visual of the type of impact that we've had. We've had significant damage to our building infrastructure. We estimate that over 60% of our buildings sustained significant and catastrophic damage. 20% of the population was temporarily displaced. Our measure is not the measure of who's in shelters. We're talking about people that had to go and live in their neighbors' houses and in their basements and so forth. About 20% of the population went there. I had to move into a friend's house. My premier was sleeping on a boat. We had significant impact in the DVI. Unfortunately, we had 4 lives lost. I think that is probably one of the most significant consequences that we had from this storm. This slide gives a human impact. But the business, economic, and infrastructure is also overwhelming. We had widespread damage to our road infrastructure, very significant coastal erosion and massive landslides. Our electrical infrastructure was also severely damaged. The entire transmission and distribution network was down, except for the areas where we had underground cabling. Critical facilities, government administration, prison, police, fire, schools, clinics, churches, they all were impacted. In fact, we had a full prison breach. Our hotels and marinas had significant damage. We're going to have very little of a tourist season in 2017. Many of our beaches have been washed out from the strong storm surge. Agriculture and fisheries, similarly. Yes, the impact and losses were significant. What we must rebuild. We had about $146 million in damage to our utilities, $19 million to our roads, $34 million to our public administration, $46 million to our education sector, $910 million to our buildings, commercial and homes, and a whopping $2 billion to our tourism sector. These are just all preliminary estimates. The UN NCLAC team was just in detail last week, and they're concluding the report to help us firm up these numbers. But a point, Chair, is that we've never seen these type of numbers in the BVA. Over our short-term recovery, there's a number of things that we have to do that we think is going to cost us about $280 million. And in the long-term development, over $700 million. But we're going to be adopting a smart approach to our redevelopment. Our vision underscores that smart approach. We want to build stronger, greener, better, and in a more sustainable and resilient way. Our vision reflects our understanding that we cannot do things in the same way, that our approach to and our mechanisms for redevelopment should enhance our ability to mitigate and recover from the effects of the hazard impact. It also recognizes that redevelopment must be given due consideration within the actual disaster management cycle. Our SMART approach will have us looking at elements of safety, health, and green. The safe elements are where we're going to look at the structural and non-structural functional resilience. In terms of health, we expect that the strength of our territory lies in its people, and we want to make sure that we have a program that can facilitate their well-being and livelihoods. And of course, the green elements are concerned with those actions that's going to help us to mitigate against the ecological and carbon footprints. This slide, Chair, explains how we're going to go about organizing our SMART recovery efforts. We're going to have a ring-fenced funding mechanism for recovery. We're also going to put in place a development agency, and both of those mechanisms will feed our SMART recovery. Each of those specified areas themselves have some SMART principles enshrined within them. Already, we've been doing some of this with our schools and with our hospital, but we want to be able to take those principles out to our hotel sector, our business sector, and our financial services sector. One of the things that we've always thought about in the BVA is how do we link our national development with the sustainable development goals. All the ministries that have functional responsibilities for the various sectors have already been doing this in their long-term planning. And as we recover, we're going to try to link the outcome of those ministerial initiatives with those sustainable goals. We've also looked at some principles for building better, stronger, and greener. As you can tell, one of the things that we've been doing a lot in the BVA is planning. Planning recovery, and so we put a lot of thought into a number of these things. We want to learn from the past, and we don't want to repeat those same mistakes. We want to be committed to a very transparent process while achieving value for money and accountability to our people, accountability to our donors. We want it to be an inclusive process with partnerships within and without the BVI. We are a smile as a nation, and we know that we cannot do it alone. So we expect that the NGOs and the private sector will have an integral part in helping us rebuild our territory. In order for us to become sustainable, however, and resilient, we recognize the need for economic diversification. Economic recovery is going to enable our people to reduce their reliance on long-term relief. We don't want to be getting any solid support for that in the long term. We want to build our country in a more resilient way so that we can be self-dependent. We want to make sure that there's a national consensus on redevelopment. You know, very much in small island states, the government runs off and does its thing, and very often we leave the people behind. We're not trying to approach it this way. The private sector has to be involved so that they can have the confidence to reinvest. I pointed out that we have about $2 billion in preliminary damage estimates to the tourism sector. It's primarily private sector costs. And while insurance is going to cover some of it, we have to make sure that we are doing the right things to in order in order to ensure that the private sector reinvests. Just a quick look at our long-term development framework. We have five arms to it, a policy arm, an implementing arm, which is primarily the like ministries. And of course, we have the development agency, which is the core of our recovery. In the interest of time, I won't spend much time talking about that, but we thought it was interesting, just a short graphic of what we're trying to do with respect to the governance and the recovery planning process. We expect that our House of Assembly and our Cabinet are going to set and identify the policy priorities and action plans. And we're going to put in place a legislative framework to ensure that this happens. At its core, as I said, we are looking to develop a development agency that will serve as a multi-partner agency to manage recovery. We expect that we're going to have an independent board that will oversee this process, where we'll draw on the international community for their help in guiding our plans. We are going to layer on top of that a ring-fenced multi-donor investment fund that's going to be held in custody for the BVI recovery efforts. The agency, we're going to subject it to internal and external audits and promote good governance and transparency. It's going to be driven by a secretariat that is also going to have experts external from external as well as internal. And very importantly, it's going to work with the ministries to deliver the results. The reason why I'm saying all of this, Madam Chair, is because very often we're tempted to build equity and do it the same old way. And in BVI, we want to put some decided thought along the structures in which we're actually going to achieve our long-term development. I want to make a point about that, though. We can create all the fancy structures in the world, but at the end of the day, the people that who's going to implement is the people that are in our territory. We are trying to create a framework where the like ministries still have significant functions.